Our Father God, we thank You for being so good to us when we didn't deserve it. Lord, for being so sacrificial. Lord, when we were so far off from You. And this morning, God, we praise You as not just the before us, but Lord, but also being so good and every good gift coming down from You, the Father of lights. And Lord, we just pray that we would walk according to Your ways. That we would walk in Your example and what You have done for us. That, Lord, that this world might know the kind of Father You are to Your children. And we'll give You all the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. If you'll meet the leaders up front up here, and they're going to go back for a time in the Word geared for them and Kids Connect. And let's take our Bibles this morning to Psalm 37. As we think about here on Father's Day, the steps of a man. The steps of a man. Psalm 37 is a wonderful psalm, and throughout the book of Psalms you find the whole gamut of life. As you see all of these different songs, all these different things that are written from different points and different perspectives of David and these different psalmists, Asaph, and all these ones from their different points of life. You know, life isn't always smooth, is it? And the psalms reflect that. You see some psalms where David is just rejoicing and praising. You see some psalms where David is hiding in a cave. You see some psalms where David has been completely broken down by sin in his life, and he is bringing in confession. And in Psalm 37, we have a wonderful wisdom psalm for us this morning. And in it, I want to bring out this application for our fathers, and as we think about them today. You know, if you remember, you know, maybe your kids or even you growing up, did you ever walk in your father's shoes? You ever put your dad's shoes on? I remember my dad always had these types of loafers that he would wear with his suits and different things. And, you know, they were slip-on, so I could go back there and just slip them on and walk through. And eventually I grew out of them. Because my dad is the shortest one and out of all of us boys. You know, my oldest brother's 6'5", I'm 6'3", my other brother's 6'2", and my dad is about 5'9". So, you know, we grew out of his shoe size pretty early on. But, I picture, you know, my kids that at some point have tried to walk in my shoes. I have a pair of boots. They're snake boots because you can never be too careful. All right, you don't want to get bitten by a snake, and I mean these things come up almost to the knee. All right, so they come all the way up, and there's these big boots, and it's so funny. Finley tried to get in it. All right, and Finley, I think he could get in the whole boot, one boot himself, you know, and he tried to get in both, and I mean, it just engulfed him, and then he tried to take a step, and it was just so fun. Sometimes it's difficult, but when we walk in our father's shoes, you know, we are trying to picture of walking the way that dad walked, doing the different things that he's done. And when we look here in this passage this morning, and we look here in Psalms, in this wisdom in Psalm 37, we're going to see the steps of a man, and they're speaking of direction. They speak of where he is going. And here in verse 23 and 24 for our text this morning, it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." The steps of a man are established by the Lord. This morning, I want you to see that the steps of a man are to be committed to the Lord. Committed to the Lord. here in this Psalm of Wisdom, there's so much back and forth, and really the Psalm starts with this idea of, listen, don't fret because of evildoers. And you're seeing a comparison between the evildoers and the righteous. And David here is writing this psalm, and he's really writing this in old age, towards the end of his life. And as you read it, you're seeing the back and forth, and David saying, listen, don't worry about the evildoers. Don't worry about the wicked. You ever find yourself just transfixed on what the wicked are doing? It's so easy to do that. Why is gossip so much easier to spread than the truth? We seem to always fixate on the problems and always fixate on everything that's going on that's wrong. And boy, we can get into it and we can complain and we can gripe and we can do all this and get into it. And David's saying here, listen, don't fret over the evildoers. That is not our focus. He says in verse 2, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And so in this wisdom that he's talking about here, we see this commitment that he's trying to bring about to the Lord. Be committed to the Lord. And so for this morning, I want just for these few moments to give us three encouragements when the steps of a man are committed to the Lord. Three encouragements. First, the way will be established. The way will be established. That's what it says right there in verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. The word here for established, it literally means formed. It means to be set. In other words, the steps, the walk, the direction of the man that is committed unto the Lord, his way is going to be established. It's going to be firm. It's going to be formed for him. The direction is going to be set. The problem is we too many times like to pile up commitments. And when we do that, what happens with the way? All of a sudden we've got all these different commitments, whether it's, you know, work or in these different situations are going on there, and these different side things that we've got going on, and things that we add here and there and put into our life and different, all these things. And all of a sudden we have all these commitments and they've just piled up, and we've got three or four different directions that we can go. Whereas the life that is committed unto the Lord, that is trusting in the Lord, will find stability because their way is set. It's established. It's put before him. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. This is formed. This is set. This is secure when we allow our steps to be formed by the Lord, when we are committed unto the Lord. Think about the numerous things that people commit to today. It has always dumbfounded me. And it started back when I was a youth pastor. I started thinking about this, how these kids are so committed to everything a coach will say. A coach will say, go run a mile. And they're gone. Try telling me to run a mile right now and see what I do. It's going to take a while. But you know, I watch people in their commitments to these coaches and these different things. And man, they tell them something and then boom, it's gone. But yet, don't make me commit to being at worship. Don't make me commit to serving any more at church than an hour a week. Don't make me commit to the Lord any more time than I think that I can give him during the week. You want me to read my Bible every day? All right, preacher, you're getting a little bit too much. I tell you, we need men that are committed to the Lord, where reading the Bible every day is not far-fetched. Because there we see an establishment. There we see a form. There we see the steps of the man are secure because he is being guided each and every day by the Lord. Not by a bank account, not by some human institution, but seeing the Lord's direction and what he has for us and being guided by him. You see, God the Father guides. Because it was His plan all along to give us this word. Look through Psalm 119 and see the encouragement. Psalm 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is there to guide us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. All of that from the word of God that God has given to us, saying, listen, this is the way in which you should go. Don't tell me that God has not shown me which way to go, or God has not given me His will, when you don't crack open His word. Because God will establish your ways when we put His word in our life. He will establish your steps. God the Father guides. Many of you can think back to words of wisdom that your father has given to you down through the years. Different statements. We made a shirt for my father-in-law for Father's Day. And we took a picture of his head and put it on the shirt, and it says, put a smile on your face and Jesus in your heart. Because that's one of his statements. I'll never forget the actual first date that I ever went on. It was later on and down the road in my high school days. I'm not bitter about that at all. But I remember my dad was taking me, and it was actually a double date. And my dad was taking me to the place where we were meeting, and his words of wisdom was, act like you have some sense. Act like you got some sense. And that's just stuck with me. I try to live every day like I have some sense. Act like you got some sense. You know, we think of the words of wisdom that our fathers have given to us because they try to guide us. They try to direct us. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father has done it so much more. He's given us a guide, and He wants to establish our steps. And listen, if we follow upon the pattern in which God has set us, you will not be disappointed. Think about concrete forms. When you go to pour concrete, you have forms that are there to tell the concrete where to go to keep it in position. And those forms give you a nice shape. It gives you a nice direction. I poured a shower pan a couple weeks ago, and I had some forms that lined out the slope for me just perfect. So I didn't have to do all the figuring, and those forms gave me the perfect pattern. It showed me which way to go to slope that shower pan. Our concrete forms give us a way to establish direction. They give us solid boundaries. And listen, a man that is committed unto the Lord will find that his way is established. It's secure. When we're not committed unto the Lord, all of a sudden, this shiny object takes our attention. Then this shiny object takes our attention. And all of a sudden, we're wavering. We're back and forth. We're back and forth. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. We see the way will be established. Then, secondly, we see that contentment appears. Contentment appears. Verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. When he delights in his way, this word delights, it's this idea of finding luxury in. It's producing this idea of being brought up in abundance. That we are delighting in the Lord and delighting in his way, and this will bring about contentment. When God is our delight, contentment will be found. Because when we seek contentment in all these other things that are out there, we will find out they're only temporary. We'll find out they only last for a season. You put your contentment in money, guess what? You'll never have enough. Put your contentment in being famous, and you'll realize it's not good enough. Unfortunately, we've seen over the past few weeks, those in Hollywood that said it wasn't enough and sadly took their lives. When we put contentment in all these other things, you can put it in earthly pursuits of rising the corporate ladder, and all of a sudden the contentment just is not good enough, and can't work hard enough. And if we put it in work, we'll find that we burn ourselves out and that contentment is not there. We put it in all these trivial pursuits. Sports. If you're putting your contentment in sports, you're gonna be disappointed. It's like watching the WWE. I'm sorry for you men, but it's rigged. They know who's going to win. They know who's going to take those belts. It's all rigged. It's all before us. If you're putting your contentment in sports, and Lord help us, this speaks to me too. If we're putting our contentment in the Dallas Cowboys, we're going to be disappointed. Me and Miss Robin know the pain. But if we put all of our contentment in these earthly pursuits, we know what? We're always going to find ourselves short. But when we live committed unto the Lord and we delight and we put our contentment in Him, we will be fulfilled. I love what Alexander McLaren says in his commentary. He says, "Whatsoever we make necessary for our contentment, we make Lord of our happiness." Whatever we make necessary for our contentment, we make Lord of our happiness. What's necessary for you to be content is going to be what's Lord over you. We need to make God necessary for our contentment. And you'll never go lacking. You'll never be disappointed. Notice earlier in Psalms 37, look back at verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and befriend faithfulness. That idea of commitment. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I love that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, don't take that out of the context. Because we always look at the desires part of that verse, and we forget the delight part. Where we see the desires and those aspects and the desires, we think, well, if I want everything that I want, then you know what? I'm going to add the Lord to my life. Maybe if I add a little bit of the Lord here and I do a little bit of here and I do a little bit of here, He'll give me what I want. That's not what that's saying. That's saying when you delight in the Lord and you put your luxury in God, He's going to change your desires and you're going to find fulfillment. That your desires are going to be lined up with Him. That when you begin to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you're going to find out those other things just don't match up the way they used to. You're going to find out that you can live without those things. I'll never forget whenever I left Junction and came to Fort Worth to go to Southwestern to get my master's. And started pouring into the school and working at night. I started missing my favorite show, NCIS. And Jethro Gibbs. And you know what? There's something I realized. I can live without it. I can live without it. And you know, it is so easy sometimes when we align ourselves with the delights of the Lord and put our love and our devotion in Him, it's amazing how He changes our hearts. And we find true contentment. Today we need dads to show the contentment of being committed to the Lord. Unfortunately, far too many moms are the only ones carrying the spiritual torches in our homes. And we need dads that stand up and say, I'm going to be content in the Lord and I'm going to be committed unto Him. And I'm going to show you what that looks like with God being my delight. God the Father provides true contentment. Not based on circumstances. When we allow all these other things to be our contentment, hey, if money's the contentment, the stock market's going up and down, guess what? You're going to be going up and down. But when He is your delight, regardless of the circumstances that are going on around about you, you can be content because of Him. Reminds us of the words of the song, right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Contentment will appear. And then thirdly, we see peace in the storm. Look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. When you are committed unto the Lord, I'm afraid so many times we see this word commitment as a bad word when it comes to the Lord. It's so easy to commit. It's easier to get y'all to commit to a credit card than it is to the Lord. But when we commit to Him and understand that it's not just one directional, because God has been pouring into us long before we ever thought to pour into Him. And notice what happens when we commit to the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. When we commit to the Lord, when the steps of the man are established by the Lord, when you're walking in his delights, understand he has you by the hand. And though we fall, yes, we're going to fall. Yes, we're going to trip. Yes, there's going to be times when hardships come. But though we fall, though we come to those times, we will not be cast headlong. We will be not cast into utter destruction, because God is holding our hand. He is right there with us. We have that safety in the Lord, that peace in the storm. You know, I often wonder, how would the game of football be a lot different if you took away the pads? You take away the pads and all of a sudden people aren't flying around and throwing themselves into each other as hard anymore. They're not running with the reckless abandon and all these different things. You put those pads on and there's that safety. If I get hit, I got pads on. I got peace. I can run through that. Understand this. When we have this safety, when we have this protection, it gives us the ability to walk in peace. It gives us the ability to walk without intimidation, knowing that whatever the devil may throw at us, we can say, my Father has my hand. I'm going to walk through this. That's why David says, even in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't say that you skirt me around the valleys of the shadow of death, or you take me down different ways. It says, no, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they guide me. He is with us in peace in the storm. When we are committed unto the Lord, He will guide and protect. This helps us live and walk without fear or intimidation. We don't have to be perfect, but we got to be available to Him, to walk in Him. I'll never forget, Emmy was about 4, and we were at my brother-in-law's parents' house, and they have a pool, and you know, we were there just having a meal, and not there to swim or anything, and the kids are running around, and I'm sitting there just watching, you know, for Emmy, and she's running back and forth, and these different things, and all of a sudden she's coming by the pool, and she goes to take the corner, and I'm sitting here watching her, and as soon as she starts around that corner, I notice her feet right there on the edge. Of course, she's playing chase, she's playing tag, she's oblivious that all that's going on. She's just watching where she's going, not understanding that the footing's about to give away. And she goes around that corner and she steps with that one foot, and then she brings that other and just miss the edge of that pool. But Daddy was watching, because as she fell into the pool, I had her by the arm and was able to yank her out, and all she had was just a wet dress and a shock. But you know what? It's those times that we realize, hey, Daddy's there for me. And if we never went through the falls, we'll never get to experience the hand that reaches down and pulls us out. It says, I'm there for you. I can uphold you with my hand to have peace in the storm, that we can walk without fear, but walk in love. You see, as we see this today, the steps of a man, they're established by the Lord. We see that they are established, they're firm. We see that contentment appears when he delights in his way. We see the peace in the storm. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. And that's why we need dads and fathers committed unto the Lord. We need fathers that will walk the walk. They will walk as God intended for them to walk, as the father, as the husband, as that spiritual leader in the home. And understand the idea of the spiritual leader that we see in Scripture is not a domineering leader. It is not abusive. It is the idea of a servant leader, the way that our Savior served the church and died and gave himself for it. The sacrificial servant leader that we are to walk the walk. I find it interesting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when Paul was looking for an illustration, he turned to the Father and this is what he said. He said, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." That he charged them to walk in a manner worthy of God, just like a father with his children. That a father walks in a way that his children can follow behind, that can watch his life and lead and see that example. We need more of this picture today. Men standing up and being the spiritual leaders in their homes, not relying on the wives to carry the spiritual torch, but being the ones to say, no, this is where we're going to be. This is who we're going to be committed to. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to walk in the way of the Lord. And we're going to see God do something in our life. Why? Because the Father's walk sets the pace, it sets the example. And it's because what our Heavenly Father did for us. Just as God the Father has done for us. This morning I want to just remind you of these words in the hymn, "How deep the Father's love for us. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from this reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom." How deep the Father's love for us. The example of a Heavenly Father, so that we can see our steps established by the Lord. Take the steps of a committed man unto the Lord, like our Heavenly Father has done for us. Shall we stand? There with your heads bowed. In just this moment, may it be a prayerful moment. May it be an opportunity to evaluate, to see in our hearts and lives. And not only that, but it may be a prayerful moment. Maybe you had a father who exampled this for you. Maybe this morning would be a great time here to praise God for that provision. this morning, maybe you didn't. And you might not have had an earthly father who modeled this before you, but I guarantee you, you have a heavenly father. A father that wants to call you his own, who sent his son to die that you might be adopted as a son. And if you don't know the joy of calling him Abba, Father, Daddy, today could be that day that you get to know the Heavenly Father. Because in just a moment we're going to sing and I'm going to be down front, and if you need to know Him as your Heavenly Father to make that real and personal in your life, please come. I want to show you how to do that. But in this time of response, can we just continue to worship the Lord, our Heavenly Father, and allow Him to move and work in our hearts and lives? So as we sing, the altar is going to be open. And I encourage you, come unto Him. Lord, work now as only You can. Help our hearts to be open to You. And we'll give You all the praise. For it's in Your name we pray.